The VGRT Gaming Podcast, episode 398, recorded on August 31st, 2015.
The 398th edition of the TD Gaming Podcast and the 231st episode of Video Game Roundtable. I am Paul S. Novak.
I am Scott Dirk.
And I am Jonah Falcon.
VGRT Gaming Podcast focuses on game news from around the industry and oftentimes has a flubbing of Paul. So yeah, there you go. You can all laugh at me now, it's okay.
Why?
Because I flubbed the intro that I've been doing since like Episode 80?
No, I'm asking why. Anyway, what do you do? Who's moving their mic around?
That's Scott.
Scott, stay still.
I am.
Don't breathe. Don't breathe into it. Don't go.
Stop making fun of Scott.
Whoa. Yeah. Okay, that was deliberate. So anyways, this is 398. That's two more episodes until the big old 400.
Oh, does that mean next episode we get to have a Paul retrospective, or is that on episode 400? The farewell to Paul show.
The funny thing is, I only save the flubs. I don't save, I don't save all the pithy things you've said over the past 3 years, 4 years, 5 years.
Well, then I guess you're just going to have to start listening to the podcast.
I'm going
back through all of my classic heartwarming lines. That needs to be the question of the week.
After I've edited a podcast, I just want to go to sleep. I don't play favorites with everybody. I do have to, I have to get an external hard drive and move a lot of these episodes off my main computer's hard drive onto an external hard drive because they're starting to take up a lot of space. I have let's have over 300 episodes of VGRT and of TD Gaming
nice.
Podcast, and it's just I've saved all of them. I think I think others may be on the other hard drive on my computer, which is sitting here. I may have to rescue them at some point. others are on a laptop. So yeah, I mean, I have to be careful, or else there'll be episodes that are lost forever to time and space.
No! Those are my episodes! Those are the good ones!
You can always back up your stuff.
Yeah, but that's I have to find the stuff to back it up first. You see, that's the issue.
Are you saying you're irresponsible and you lost things, Jonah?
No, I'm irresponsible and I don't care.
You put stuff in a Dropbox, could you?
You gotta pay once you get past, like, a really tiny amount.
I have a 500 gigabyte external hard drive somewhere. I'll just use that if I can find it. So yeah, but I mean, Paul is Paul.
This is true. I am Paul. And this is not the first time, by the way, that my name has been used as an adjective.
Yeah, there's also another Paul Nowak out there, which Paul S. Nowak is trying to avoid being confused with. So
the other Paul Nowak is a political cartoonist.
We have a similar situation with the listener feedback.
Really?
Yeah, we'll get to it when we get to it. So anyways, what have you been playing, Paul?
I've been playing, get this, Heroes of Might and Magic 4, because goddamn it, Steam won't support any game on Windows XP. So I had to jump. I had to jump in the series to the inferior Heroes of Might and Magic 4. Inferior!
I liked it.
Needlessly complicated for no reason.
Yeah, but I liked it. Damn it.
Needlessly complicated.
There are a number of
small design changes that would have made it a lot better, that probably wouldn't have cost a whole lot. They just needed someone to say that these things needed to be fixed.
I don't know. I liked it.
It's needlessly complicated. Everything's utterly out of context.
I should do what that guy said in RoboCop when they gave him that gun and he fired it first time and he said, "I like it." Unless you didn't watch RoboCop.
Nope.
So yeah, actually, I've started doing Heroes of Might and Magic 6, and I had to go through a lot of rigmarole with a stupid Uplay, you know.
No, Uplay is fine. It's the Steam that I hate.
You know, Uplay crashed. I kept crashing, and I had to follow a link to fix Uplay.
Well, I'm more annoyed at the fact that I got that access pass to Heroes 7 beta. The unreleased Heroes 7 invitation only beta, apparently for people who purchased the Humble Bundle. And I can't play it because I don't have any compatible hardware.
Dun dun dun.
I feel better though because apparently it's only like a portion of the game. It's not like run rampant. It's like you get two. You're allowed to play with like two heroes just to test their heroes for them.
So that's it. Just Heroes 4?
Yep, Heroes 4. Well, I mean, on top of my standards of, you know, my normal mobile games. Yeah. But I think updating people on those every week gets a little boring.
I started playing...
I've also been playing, you know, Packing for Camp, so...
Okay. I've also been... I started a little bit of Heroes 6 just to see why it didn't grab me before. I don't know why it hasn't grabbed me, because it's basically Heroes, and it's basically like a very graphical version of Heroes. And maybe that's it. Maybe I prefer tiles, you know? Very bright tiles with nice musical cues. That's the one thing that hooked me about Heroes of Might and Magic 2 when I first got it, way back in 96. I think it was 96. Or maybe it was 98. You're playing it, so obviously you remember this since, you know, it's fresh in your mind, but those musical cues when you do stuff, they just are perfect. You know what I mean?
Heroes 6? I don't think I've gotten that far.
Heroes 2.
Oh, no, Heroes 2? Yeah.
Yeah, the musical cues, you know, when you pick up, you know, the whatever sound effects that pop up when you pick up something or stuff like that, it just feels so right for the game, you know?
Yeah, absolutely.
So that's what hooked me on Heroes of Might and Magic in the first place. You know,
One of the things that I don't like about 4 is that like it starts throwing a bunch of information at you and none of it's in context. So it'll give you like, oh, this raises luck, but you don't know what luck does unless you have that information from a previous installment of the franchise.
Didn't you right click? It says luck.
Nope, it doesn't. No, it doesn't. That's exactly what I'm talking about. There's a lot of tiny little things like that in Heroes 4 that are missing.
Oh. Okay, well, I wouldn't know. So anyway, I started.
You're right. You wouldn't.
I started. Well, the thing is, I was such a devoted thing. I didn't notice. Okay, I was a devoted player. I started playing Heroes 6. Like I said, I don't know. Maybe I just need the graphics to be brighter and tile-like, and you know, a little more retro. But I'm going to stick with it. You know. I also bought a game on advice from other people called Super Mega Baseball Extra Innings for the Xbox One. Because the Xbox One does not have a baseball game, right? This is a very extremely cartoony baseball game with, you know, it's sort of like a Nintendo game, you know, maybe like Dave's Baseball Stars. Very cartoony, but the physics are real, the pitching and batting are very well done. So basically, you're getting a really good baseball experience just with very cartoony characters.
Oh, speaking of games you recently purchased, did you get in on that Leisure Suit Larry sale I sent you?
No, because I already have it, so...
I'm just saying, it's not just the one, it's a pack.
I know. I don't...
I'm only mentioning it because it ends in 42 minutes, if you wanted to jump on it.
No, I'm... The thing is, I know Al Lowe. If I really needed it that badly, I'd ask him, or...
I mean, it's, like, for $2, so I was just trying to, look at... I'm just trying to be nice, and you don't appreciate it.
Okay. I've only... Oh, stop it. You know, passive-aggressive doesn't work with me anymore.
I'm not being passive-aggressive. I'm being outright aggressive.
No, I mean... I'm not as big a fan of... I'm a fan of the first game, basically. That's about it. You know, so...
Aggressive is more like, it's a deal, damn it, take it!
I also played the softcore adventure, which is
on
what,
that note.
No, the softcore adventure is what Leisure Suit Larry is. Softcore adventure is the text adventure version of Leisure Suit Larry. That came before it, and then they made it. Then they made it a graphic adventure. So you know. By the way, according to Al Lowe, it's like the manuals. they sold like 200,000 manuals, but they only had something like 5,000 sales of the game. So yeah, piracy was rampant with that game. And I told him, you know, I guess I was one of the few people who actually bought it in a store for the Amiga.
Well, that's because you're a sap, Jonah.
I support the creators of games by paying for them.
And that is the lesson that everyone should take away from them for this conversation. Support your local game makers. Pay for your games.
Because if you want more of what you like, then you better pay for it.
Otherwise, they end up on the breadline.
Otherwise, you'll just get Call of Duty 80, you know.
Yeah, exactly.
Whatever. I mean, not that Call of Duty, the new Call of Duty is bad. It's just, it's more of the same. And people...
Yeah, if you're only willing to pay for Call of Duty, all we'll make is Call of Duty.
Yeah, and that's why also the DLC just costs so much. Because that's the only thing you're willing to pay for, it seems like. So yeah, so this game, this baseball game, I think it's more like a PlayStation 1 game. It just has that feel of a PlayStation 1, not a Super Nintendo Entertainment System game, but more like a PlayStation 1 game. So, you know, it's not like Mario plays baseball, it's more like weird shaped things play baseball. So that's what I've been playing. Okay, aside from Minecraft, what have you been playing, Scott?
More King's Quest. I've reached another branching point where Ram has to get into this like tournament, and he has to pick which way will get him through. Like there's these three different stores, and he has only like one gold coin, and he has to spend that coin at one of these stores to get the path to the...
I'm not going to spoil the game for you. Because there's one of the complaints about the game. I'm not going to talk about it. What I will ask is, has the game killed you and laughed at you for killing you?
Yeah. That's you get, like, nailed over by a bed or something.
Because...
Like, I did not die that way.
Because Sierra games of that era, mm-hmm. you know, used to love to kill you. In many ways.
Oh, I remember. I used to play them all the time. That's how I learned how to type, is through Sierra games. I would, okay. Yeah, the text typing cursor, you would have to type very quickly or a little goblin will get you if you didn't type in, you know, throw dagger quick enough.
Suddenly I want to start playing some Infocom games.
But, like, I remember, like, the Space Quest ones were particularly, jabbing at you, you know, if you, like, like a smooth move X-lagged or something like that. Or it's like, you know, if you have something called a dangerous ordinance, you really shouldn't carry that around. You know, something like that. Like when you picked up the little tank missile from Space Quest IV, there's a little tank that's there and you can pick up the dangerous ordinance and he's like, but I don't think you should. And then if you put it back, you get points for picking up and putting it back.
But why would anybody give you points for picking it up and putting it back?
Because you were smart enough to put it back instead of walking around with it because it killed you.
Right, but then why wouldn't you just keep picking it up and putting it down to get as many points as possible?
It's only going to do it for once, I guess.
Yeah, it'll only let you do it the one time after you put it down. Right. It's like, oh, no, we're not going to do that anymore. Whatever.
All right, fair enough.
Hmm. Yeah, adventure games from the 90s were weird.
Everything from the 90s was weird.
I guess. I'm going to cue the 90s kid. Dun, dun,
dun, dun. I think the 80s was weird, too, as well as the 70s and 60s. And basically, every decade was weird.
Let's see.
Well, then they're all homogeneous.
Let me see. Well, I'm trying to remember. The 80s were super.
Awesome.
No. The 80s were super. The 90s were extreme!
Yeah.
Yeah, can we not shout in our friends' ears like that, please?
Extreme!
Much better.
And then Poochie went back to his home planet.
Yeah, Poochie went back to his home planet. Never heard from him again.
Thank God.
And, oh yeah, no, the spaceship, he was killed on his way back to his home planet, if I remember correctly. So, anyway.
Oh, that's unfortunate. They couldn't just let him go back home?
No, they had to kill him, too. I remember that. He also died on the way. He got killed. So he's never, ever, ever, ever coming back. Although he did appear in later Simpsons episodes as a joke, of course. I mean, they also brought back Roy, who was in that same episode. Roy was the mixture of Bart and Lisa with the sunglasses, the kid, you know, which was a reference also to, you know, and
See, now I think you're just making stuff up.
No. Mara says, "Hello, Roy. Hello, Mrs. S."
Yeah, you're just making stuff up.
Okay. I don't remember this.
Okay, look up Roy in the Simpsons wiki. And
That sounds like something people would do if they have too much free time on their hands.
Okay, look up Titania.
I'm behind schedule.
Look up Titania on the wiki then. Anyways, we're going to move on to the first item. The Pokemon Company shuts down PAX Party with a lawsuit. And this comes to us from SiliconANGLE. The Pokemon Company, which has filed a lawsuit against the organizers of a PAX Prime Party for attempting to host... what? No. This is wrong. This opening line is wrong, so I'm going to have to fix it. The Pokemon Company has filed suit against the PAX Prime Party for attempting to host the 5th annual unofficial Pokemon PAX kickoff party. The actual suit was filed by the company. It goes into great detail about all the many ways it used Pokemon likenesses, including the merchandise, a trading card game, a television series, and so on. The document even takes the time to describe the appearance and importance of both Pikachu and Snivy, two Pokemon used in the promotional material for the PAX party, which was basically a poster. The suit claims that the party organizers, specifically Ramar Larkin-Jones and Zach Shore, illegally used the likenesses of Pikachu and Snivy in a promotional poster. They also used, quote, an infringing copy of Pikachu in a Facebook post. Who knew that you could get sued for posting a picture of Pikachu on Facebook? According to the suit, defendants have copied, created derivative works of, distributed copies to the public, and or displayed publicly Pokemon works without the consent or authority of the Pokemon Company. Defendants' actions were and are intentional, willful, wanton, and performed in disregard of the Pokemon Company's rights. The company is seeking statutory damages from the defendants, both for the recently planned party and for those that took place previously over the past 4 years. There does not seem to be any explanation for why the company waited 5 years before taking the issue with the party. The issue also asks for the attorney's fees and, quote, the destruction of or other reasonable disposition of copies found to be made or used in violation of the Pokemon Company's exclusive rights and all plates, molds, matrices, masters, tapes, film negatives, and articles by means of which such copies may be reproduced. As a result of the suit, the PAX party was canceled, so let that be fair warning to anybody who wants to provide free publicity and positive PR for Pokemon. Don't. Just so you know, they were charging $2 entrance fee, and they had 30 people, so that's $60.
But don't they have to prove that they're making a profit off of it? In order to, otherwise it just falls under United States fair use law.
Yeah, but here's the problem, Paul. How much do lawyers cost?
Fair point. They didn't have the authority to shut down the party. The party organizers chose to shut it down rather than go
actually,
through.
Actually,
they were bullied. Basically,
they were
within their legal rights.
The bar shut it down.
And they were bullied.
The bar, even though they only loaned out the space to them, the bar shut it down. That they were holding it at. Now keep in mind, I want to let everybody know, this is not Nintendo. I mean, Nintendo has done dick moves like this, but the Pokemon Company is the one who owns Pokemon, not Nintendo. The other thing is that I find it curious why they would do this and not go after, say, College Humor, which gets revenue from its streams and has tons of Pokemon parodies. You know,
that's the thing, though. They're protected under their parody law.
Yeah, but here it's just a party, you know, being held by guys.
Well,
they
wouldn't have won, but it would have cost the event organizers too much money to fight.
Well, yeah.
They were essentially bullied into stopping.
The other thing is that a part of the suit said that the defendants would have to pay for the company's legal fees, and I'm pretty sure you know how much high priced lawyers cost.
$60.
That's
fifteen
minutes of these lawyers' time.
So they were threatened with a giant bill.
Basically, yeah. Now,
that they wouldn't have been able to pay, even though they were perfectly within their rights.
Well, here's the thing. You know, the only thing I could think of is what happens with the USFL, in that, yeah, the USFL was right, but the judge fined the NFL $1 each person, $3. If I were the judge, that's what I would have done. Well, you know, technically you're in the right, so here's the thing. They owe you $1 each person. You get $2. They're not going to pay your legal fees. They're not going to do anything else. They're just going to pay $2. Or just say pay $60, the amount of money that you got for this party. Now, one thing that I have to say, I know what you're thinking, Paul, and what is the end game here? What are they trying to accomplish is the question. We can that's not a rhetorical question. You can answer that.
Oh, either what's the end goal? I don't know. To be bullies?
Scott? Are you there? Uh-oh.
Yeah, I'm here. Sorry, I was on mute. I guess they're trying to protect their IP, but this reminds me of Anne Rice, what she would do when fans would write fan fiction or a fan website. Just not even like gathering any money whatsoever, just writing a fan site to say how much they love this series and want to add to it and whatnot, and they get slapped with a lawsuit, a cease and desist, and shut down your website kind of crap. So this just stinks just like that.
You want to hear something that's the opposite? George Lucas. George Lucas, people did fan videos, fan everything. George Lucas said, do it. I don't care. Do it. They even included stuff on their site, you know, like sound effects and all that stuff, for fans to use, because he knew that they're going to grow the IP.
Yeah, exactly.
And you're not going to be able to stop them anyway. It's like trying to stop piracy.
And you know what? And what happened? George Lucas sold the Star Wars franchise he sold LucasArts for $6 billion.
You got to do it like Dr. Evil. $6 billion.
Oh, but didn't he say $6 billion? Because I can do the $1 million.
Yeah,
that's not appropriate here. Same thing with Indiana Jones, by the way. He what's it called? So here's the thing: is that the timing of this is bad too, because I don't know if the Pokemon Company understands this, but PAX is a big convention in the geek community. So if you're going to act
when was the last time Pokemon did anything relevant or interesting? Except crank out the same game over and over again.
So here's the thing, here's the thing is that when you do that, word gets around,
Yep.
And if I was one of the Pokemon organizers, I would say this. Well, we apologize. We will not do any Pokemon parties ever.
We'll do a different party
again.
Then. Yep.
And you know what? We don't think we will serve the franchise ever again, because you're telling us what you think of us,
Hey, if you don't want the adoration of your fans, that's your business.
Yeah. And like I said, look how big the LucasArts franchises are, Star Wars and Indiana Jones. Pokemon's not even close to that big. I mean, they're big, but they're not that big.
Right. And, outside the world of gaming, nobody knows who the hell Pokemon is.
Well, they know who Pikachu is.
Right. Well, yeah, they know the branding of one character.
But like I said, this is sort of cowardly, because they don't go after everybody else.
It's kind of like in the same way that all mothers call any video game console a Nintendo.
By the way, I did contact the lawyers for these people, and I asked them a series of questions, and I did not get a response. Not yet. Even though I presented myself as a member of the press, which I am. So, their comment is no comment.
You requested an interview and they denied you?
No, I asked them a series of questions, for clarification.
You requested an interview.
No, I asked a series of questions for clarification. That's all. It's not an interview. That's just a response. Confirm nor deny. I don't know if they haven't said if they've dropped the suit or not.
Well, there's no reason to drop a suit, because they've canceled the party, so there's nothing to get butthurt about.
Oh, no. They said, four parties before this. So, technically, it's still it's still an issue, you know. But like I said, I don't know what the end game is here, because you know what? You're trying to protect the IP. This is not protecting the IP. This is actually harming the IP.
Mm-hmm.
You know? Yeah, this is telling all of your fans, go away, we don't like you.
Of course, yeah. There are the few tools that say, well, they're perfectly within their rights. And my response is always this, well, yeah, you can do it. It doesn't mean you have to do it. Like,
but
I said,
you should do it.
George exactly. Lucas says, go ahead and do it. I don't care. It's only growing my property. You see, here's the thing. The only time that you should really get, you know, when George Lucas or anybody else will really get, is if you just put the movie on torrent and not pay for it, you know, that sort of thing. You know, just wholesale take their work and
yeah, the original art.
You know. But when you make your own, when someone else puts all their blood, sweat, and tears into doing either a parody or an homage or, you know, fan fiction or anything like that, you know, they're telling you, we like what you do, we want more.
Right, like tons of college kids have gone out and made their own Quidditch league. You don't see Joe Rowling getting upset.
You know, and as
I would think they would be flattered, frankly.
You know, the movie The People vs. George Lucas noted that a lot of filmmakers got their start from making Star Wars parody, you know, their own Star Wars fan films or their own Indiana Jones fan films and all that stuff. That's how artists start. You know, they start imitating what they see.
Right. You take something that you admire and you try to replicate it and you learn.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you take something, you work from something that inspires you.
So, what I feel like doing is posting a big picture of Pokemon on my page and saying, try and sue me now. Because apparently, you know, I don't know. Like I said, the only thing I can think of to combat that is just let as many people know what's going on as possible.
Well, I mean, the only thing that they had to do was not charge for the party. And then clearly, you could just show that the previous 4 years' party didn't make a profit.
Well, the thing is that, you know, they weren't even charging for the party. They were, you know, they were just getting, what's it called, contributions for the space, because they had to pay for the space.
Not
and I doubt
that.
$60.
We're sorry, that was for charity. All that excess money was donated.
Yeah, or they could have just said, this is for something else. Oh, by the way, we also have a party for this as well. To give more comparisons, Microsoft does not do this. Sony does not do this. You know, Sony and Microsoft, and what's it called? Even Nintendo, you know, for the most part, doesn't do this. The only time Nintendo gets really pissy is if you try to mimic their levels or stuff like that, or you try to make it, you know. When you have fan stuff, Nintendo isn't this, you know, like fan parties. Nintendo doesn't do this either. You know, I've never heard of Nintendo shutting down a party that was celebrating their IPs. You know, I mean,
I've never heard of a party that celebrates Nintendo IPs. So I mean, you got one.
Oh, there was
night.
A Zelda party. There was, they had something at Comic Con. I don't know. It's like I said. Yes, even the dogs hate this. The thing is that, you know, it's on a closing note. It's just petty. You know, and I don't see the point of this. I don't see the end game. I don't see the and you know, enough negative press. You know. You know, one person said, you know, the Pokemon company should be paying them to do this.
Yeah.
You know, they should be paying them.
I'd agree with that.
Yeah. So we're going to move on to the next item. Go ahead. Now, here's the thing. Paul thinks this is completely fictional right off the bat. I'm going to say this right now. So go
you're
ahead.
Predicting. So you're predicting.
Well, I'm not predicting. This is from past commentary, Paul.
Oh, no, you're right. You're right.
Okay, go ahead, Scott.
You're right, this is totally... All right, so the following non-news article is presented for entertainment purposes only and is not intended to inform anybody of actual facts happening in our world.
Go ahead, Scott.
Okay. They did two movies about this, by the way, but anyways. 881 E.T. cartridges buried in New Mexico desert sell for over $100,000. This is from Ars Technica. The dusty town of Alamogordo in New Mexico has announced that in a series of eBay auctions, 881 of early 1980s Atari video game cartridges that were buried for decades in the desert have sold for over a grand total of $100K.
Oh, by the way, it's technically 107,000 and some odd, but I just
rounding to the nearest 100, yeah. Last April, a film crew and dig crew hired by Fuel Entertainment and Xbox Entertainment Studios dug up an old garbage dump outside of Alamogordo looking for Atari cartridges dumped in the fall of 1983. This must be the first movie then and not the Angry Video Game Nerds. The dumping was participated by the North American video game crash of 1983, and the total bomb of the game was E.T., the extraterrestrial, which was written on a rush schedule and quickly gained a reputation among Atari players for being too punishing and complex. When Atari shut down its El Paso, Texas factory that year, the company had to had a variety of its game cartridges, not just E.T. ones, thrown out. While a brief New York Times clip from that year confirmed that Atari had dumped the games, Atari itself never confirmed or denied the dump of tens or hundreds of thousands of game cartridges. So naturally, rumors grew, with doubters and believers on each side, until Atari E.T. dump became stuff of urban legend. But Lewandowski, a garbage contractor in the Alamogordo area, remembered pieces of the event, and decades later he used some careful detective work to pinpoint just where the vast desert the trove was buried. See the video below for description.
No, ignore that. There's no video.
No problem. A small sample of cartridges was exhumed and used in the Xbox documentary. In September, the city of Alamogordo decided to sell hundreds of these cartridges on eBay, including Pac-Man, Miss Pac-Man, Pele Soccer, Yar's Revenge, Baseball, Centipede, and Warlords. Lewandowski went for Alamogordo City Commissioners last week to report that the sales of the games raked in more than $100K, or $65,000, which will go to the city of Alamogordo. Another $16,000 will go to the Tularosa Basin Historical Society. Shipping fees totaled more than $2,600,000 and were used to send the games to buyers around the U.S. and in countries including Brazil, Australia, Singapore, France, and Canada. The most expensive sale was of the E.T. cartridge, which went for $1,535. Besides the cartridges that the city of Alamogordo took charge of, filmmakers were able to keep 100 cartridges, and 23 cartridges were given away to museums. Lewandowski says they're still holding on to 297 E.T. cartridges.
You know, I have an E.T. cartridge. I can't lie and say it was from the Yes, this was one of the E.T. cartridges that was thrown out. Give me $1,500 for it. By the way, you know what Alamogordo is famous for, right?
Making up lies?
No, nuclear bomb testing. And I'm just thinking, you're digging down there. I hope you had a Geiger counter with you as well, because you might be digging up something nastier than video game cartridges, you know? So, yeah. So, Paul?
Story's a complete lie.
Yeah, but so you're saying that someone bought an E.T. cartridge for $1,500 for nothing?
I'm saying the entire thing is staged. It's an utterly ridiculous lie. If anything, when they were clearing out their offices, there were like maybe 20 copies that got tossed in the trash, along with just reference copies for The Office.
You know, I feel sad that, you know, because I loved Yar's Revenge and Miss
Pac-Man. A lot of people did. Apparently,
Warlords was a good game.
For making Atari a thing.
So was Warlords. You know, Warlords was really good.
Yeah, that's the point. I'm not saying these are bad games. I'm just saying that this is a lie.
Miss Pac-Man was, you know, showed you what the original Atari Pac-Man could have been, you know, had they not rushed that game. See, the dog agrees with me.
Yes.
So, yeah, I mean,
the news is a lie.
I wonder if any of these cartridges still work, you know, because one of the pictures.
Of course
showed
they do. They've been sitting in somebody's house for the last 20 years. Why wouldn't they work? Mine still works.
I still have Ladybug for this ColecoVision. I see it right there. I don't have my ColecoVision anymore, but I do have Ladybug if I ever want to get the console again. Well, GameStop is selling the classic consoles.
The whole thing, it wouldn't surprise me if the whole thing was involved with GameStop too, because they're selling the same. Now they're selling this junk again.
You see,
back when they were Funko Land, they sold it all the time.
Paul's gonna start
nonsense.
Paul's gonna start invoking the Illuminati into this and Majestic 12 and you know they're
I wouldn't drag any of those names into this. This is ridiculous marketing on the part of Xbox and GameStop.
Well, it is marketing on the part of Xbox because they're releasing the documentary, you know.
Right. So they made some shit up and they put it on film. And now people are going to go watch it, and they're going to get a ton of money from Netflix of people wanting to download it streaming.
Well, the Angry Video Game Nerd did one as well, so I guess.
You know, see, Paul is just looking for his hate mail. Everybody,
no, I'm not looking for hate mail. I'm telling our listeners to open their eyes and wake up that they're being manipulated by insidious people who are looking to make money.
Paul's Twitter is StagerMonkey, at StagerMonkey.
It is a bit ridiculous to pay so much for these cartridges.
It's collectors. You know, this reminds me of the 90s comic collectors boom. You know?
And now it's not – yeah, now it's deflated apparently.
It doesn't remind me of that at all because those comics might have actually been worth something.
Blood Death number two, which had a million copies released, you could probably get for 10 cents in a bin. Those Image comics were – junk. No one would pay more than a quarter for any of them these days. Seriously.
Well, at the time, they might have been worth something.
Yeah, they were worth. They were worth with their hologram covers and their, you know. I have this thing about comics in the early '90s, early to late '90s, and I call it the dork age of comics. Stupid wizard. It's Wizard Magazine. And I enjoyed reading Wizard Magazine because, you know, but then they started filleting Image. And then it's just, anyways.
When were comics not dork, in your estimate?
No. You see, here's the thing is that, okay, fine, reading comics, you know, is a geeky thing to do, right? Especially if you're a teenager in high school. Mm-hmm. But... when they started doing this entire collector boom, when you'd have 1 million...
Right, they were trying to purposefully manufacture a collector's market for a product that didn't where it didn't exist and that nobody wanted.
They would
produce like 9 variant covers for the same one issue of a comic book, and people just weren't going to be down with that.
Yeah, the thing is that people have to understand, the reason why Action Comics number 1 is so valuable is because A, it's very hard to find... in a time when there weren't many comics.
Right, because
and
it's
B,
like,
it's
like
Superman.
A baseball rookie card.
And B, it's Superman, you know? No one cares,
No, not even that. It was the first appearance of an unknown character that later turned into the mega brand that is Superman. In the same way that a rookie card for Jose Canseco would be worth money.
Or, you know, like the Detective Comics with the first Batman and whatever, you know, so
and additionally,
amazing stories.
Yeah. Additionally, a lot of the copies that were held onto were destroyed in the war effort to recycle paper or metal or any other thing that we can get our hands on. That's why older items can be collectible, and you can't just manufacture new collectibles.
Yeah, so
the Bradford Exchange, what's that other one that does the Lord of the Rings?
You're thinking of the Mint, the Franklin Mint, the Franklin
right,
Mint.
No, I'm thinking of all of them: the Bradford Exchange, the Franklin Mint, the one that does the Harry Potter movie replica.
You
stuff.
Know, they do
like,
all these.
All of that stuff
you mean the ones that do all these plates? You know, these collector's plates. These collector plates may or may not go up in value. They may go
right,
down
none of them, not a single one of them has gone up in value because nobody wants that shit.
Well, I mean,
and if you do want it, you can get it for $10 on eBay.
I still have those figurines from E3 just sitting there.
That's why I never bother keeping stuff in wrapping because you know if you're not going to make a sale on it or whatever, you might as well enjoy it.
I have a shrink wrapped deck of Psychonauts playing cards that people doubt that I have, even have to snap photos of it just to prove I have it, which were the pre-order bonus. And since I was one of 5 people who actually pre-ordered Psychonauts, you know, now that Psychonauts is big, it's a big thing, but I'm never going to unwrap it because I know that the cards inside aren't really special. You know, it's not like they have characters with different things. It's just a deck of playing cards with the Psychonauts back, right? But, you know, I like it. I'm never gonna unwrap it. It's mine, and not because it's valuable. It's just because I like it. You know, and people doubt I have it, and I show it to them, and they say, "Oh shit, you have it. It does exist."
People care that much to want to be okay. Well, whatever.
It does. Well, yes, they do, Paul.
Shh.
That's why your conspiracy about the ET cartridges.
I'm not saying it's a conspiracy. I'm saying it's a pack of lies.
Okay. So, anyways, we're going to move on to the next item. Go ahead, Paul.
Hold on.
The
smaller new 3DS is coming to the U.S. on September 25th, and this comes to us from VG247. The smaller system, previously not available in the U.S., will launch as part of a bundle focused on Animal Crossing Happy Home Designer. The bundle will include the game, two consumable cover plates.
Customizable. You're not going to eat them, Paul.
No, you should totally eat them. Two customizable cover plates and an Animal Crossing Amiibo card. Amiibo card? Okay. This pack will retail for $220 and will coincide with the launch of the new Animal Crossing spinoff. The new 3DS XL was first released in the U.S. on February 13th of this year. The system comes with...
The new system, they botched this part. The new system that's coming out on September 25th.
So the new system was coming out was... this copy doesn't make any sense if that's what you're saying.
It'll just...
Whatever. Anyway, the system comes with extra shoulder buttons, a second analog nub, improvised 3D visuals, and just enough extra processing power to ensure that a handful of games going forward will be exclusive to the new system. It also has a built-in NFC reader, which will allow Animal Crossing fans to use the series' Amiibo and Amiibo cards in Happy Home Designer.
So that answers your question about the card. So,
all right. So it works on the 3DS. Great.
Yeah. The one thing I'm wondering about is this is a new SKU. If there are going to be games that only this new system can play.
Why would there be games that only this new system could play? And
because
if so,
it has a better
really
processing power, apparently.
A tiny bit. Probably not enough to warrant... I don't know.
Well, apparently they're going to have games that are going to be only for this 3DS, which is going to be kind of confusing because they're not really differentiating this... What is it going to... You know, because, hey, you know, I bought the Alien Quadrilogy Blu-rays, right?
Of course you did.
So it comes with 8 movies, right? You know, the original theatrical version and the director's version or whatever better versions there are. So I pop one of them in just to test it out, and I get on a message on my Xbox One that I need to update my Blu-ray player in order to play this disc. Unfortunately, Xbox One and PlayStation 4 owners, I learned, can't do this. And this never happened.
You mean that they're being bullied into buying new shit that they don't want?
Apparently, yeah.
Which would only serve a company that has absolutely no loyalty to them as a customer. So yeah, don't do it.
I'm not.
You don't buy the movie.
Well, I returned it. There's a return. Yeah. Best Buy has a great return policy. So, but the thing is, you know, this sounds sort of like what this 3DS is going to be doing. Imagine buying a 3DS game, popping it in, and says, "Oh, sorry, you need to get this new hotter version of the system that you already own in order to play this."
Yeah, I definitely don't like that.
Nope, not acceptable.
Nope.
Paul calls bullshit.
No, hopefully it is bullshit. You know, maybe the new games will just run slower. Because I remember when I had an Amiga 1000, right, and I got Cyberball, it ran really slow, and it didn't run normal speed until I upgraded to an Amiga 500. You know, so which had a better processor. So maybe, hopefully, it won't allow you not to play. It'll just play in, like, slow motion, you know, so at least you're not... Because the game still worked in slow motion. It just wasn't as exciting.
Yeah, Paul calls bullshit.
Okay.
Not on you, on them.
I understand. So, but here's the thing is that, you know, I've been talking about getting a 3DS for the first time, and I don't want a 2DS, which was recently lowered in price, like we said last week, to $100, because I really don't want the tablet style, you know. The clamshell design is important to me. I mean, it may not seem like much, but I do want to be able to close the screens together. You know, make it smaller, put it in my pocket. I don't want to carry around. I already have I have a tablet, I have the iPad, and I have my cell phone. I don't need another, you know, open screen tablet.
I understand, because I got the Twilight...
Sparkle?
Yeah.
You watch as Twilight by Stephanie Meyer.
The Zelda Link Between Worlds game.
Oh. Oh, yes, Link Between
and,
Worlds.
And I got the special edition of that the 3DS, which is not the new XL 3DS, so it's like I won't be able to use Amiibos, which I kind of like. I kind of like those things. And,
it's just a real shame if I have to buy another 3DS just to use them.
Paul, do you collect amiibos, or are you strictly a Infinity guy?
I am strictly on Infinity because they don't continually make hardware that makes my old characters obsolete in an attempt to extort money from me.
Okay, I was just wondering. Just wondering. So anyways, we're going to move on to the next item. Steve, you can... Steve? Scott, you can take this.
Okay. How Good Old Games rescued 13 Forgotten Realms games from licensing hell from PC Gamer. For Good Old Games, finding the missing games, establishing who owned which parts of them, and getting them into a playable state has taken years. Their first step was to work out who owned what. After all, the original developers of SSI disappeared into Mindscape in 1994, before being passed through the Learning Company, Mattel, and Ubisoft. This game was licensed from TSR, who closed in 1997. As Good Old Games' Oleg Klapkowski explained to us, with classic games like those from Forgotten Realms series, years of mergers, acquisitions, and bankruptcies can really leave the rights sitting in very strange places, like banks or even enormous conglomerates. Sometimes the original documents aren't even digitized, so somebody has to physically head down to the figurative seller and dig through countless cabinets. On top of that, the art, the music, the license, the digital distribution rights, the code can all be owned by different people. So Good Old Games went to SSI and hence to Ubisoft, who were also the publisher of the first SSI game. After a considerable back and forth, it unfortunately, though perhaps fortunately for us, turned out to be a dead end, says Klapkowski. The rights were not with Ubisoft. They were sold off or left behind along the way. Hold on. Okay. Then Good Old Games went to the next logical place, the current owners for D&D, Hasbro / Wizards of the West, or Wizards of the Coast.
West Coast? Are there Wizards of the East Coast? Did they have gang wars?
Yeah.
Wizards of the West Coast.
Yeah, they have a school in the Rockies and a school in the Appalachian, and they just like they have a big they use the middle of America like a big giant Quidditch field.
Okay then.
Anyways, while they did own the Forgotten Realms intellectual property and were very excited for what we're doing, they also had never gotten the actual games themselves. Another dead end. That's very strange. With the trail running cold, Good Old Games tracked down SSI original president and founder Joe Billings. As a huge fan of D&D, he was willing to help walk us through a detailed history behind SSI mergers and narrow the search down to two potential candidates, Mattel or Gore's Technology Group, who had acquired the Learning Company. The latter was a hit. We found the actual rights owners to the Forgotten Realms game, and after several more months of negotiations, they agreed to sell them to us outright.
Which really means they no longer own it. The Good Old Games now own those games.
Yeah, that makes me wonder if they can now make Forgotten Realms games.
Because that's still a D&D license, which Wizards of the Coast owns. They don't own the games, though.
So they can re-release the games whenever they feel like it.
Yeah, I mean, they can't. Good Old Games now owns, they just can't stray from that.
Okay. So I guess that means I can't remember the company that's making Sword Coast Legends, but I guess they got the rights from Hasbro or something to make them. Okay. Good Old Games managed to recover 13 games this way. They are the party-based RPG Pool of Radiance, which I've played. Its sequels, Curse of Azure Bonds. I've played that. Azure Bonds. Secrets of the Silver Blades, I've also played that, and Pools of Darkness, I've played and read the book. CNC Creators, Westwood's minigame RPG Hillsfar, the RPG Construction Kit Unlimited Adventures, I love that one. Westwood's First Person, Eye of the Beholder trilogy, the roguelike FPS Dungeon Hack, the two Savage Frontier games, and the Ultima Underworld, Underdark exploration game.
Menzo Baranzen.
Yeah, Menzo Baranzen.
I had the Forgotten Realms collectors, which had all these games plus two others. And I forgot the names. One of them was a one that boasts the first D&D, DM, you know, that would actually talk. The DM wasn't exactly all that thing, but, you know, but I enjoyed it because it was like a war game mixed with sending your guys off to quests.
That's Stronghold. That sounds like Stronghold.
It could be Stronghold. I'm not sure. I'd have to look it up. No, there was also a... I'm going to have to look this up.
I think I remember getting that collection myself.
Anyways.
So I'll continue.
No. It wasn't Stronghold, although I really loved that game too. That was the Kingdom Simulator.
Okay.
That was the one that was sort of like playing The Sims and Sim City.
Yeah.
You know, that was really fun, but that wasn't the one I was thinking of.
It was a lot of fun. Then they had the... they had the not so bad or not so small matter of getting Ultra Team running and bug free on the modern systems, including Windows 10. The Stranger challenges has been to get the code wheels working. A nostalgia-inducing cardboard security devices that came with the SSI gold boxes were considered trying to remove the need to use these codes during gameplay, much like we've done several of our games in the past, but instead decided to opt for leaving the mechanic intact for the sake of a cooler, more authentic old-school experience. So each game has a printable do-it-yourself code wheel for players to construct and a software version as well.
Okay, so the game didn't come with it. The only game that wasn't brought with it was Treasures of the Savage Frontier. Now I'm going to drive myself nuts thinking about that game that I was thinking of, you know, that DM game. And anyways, continue, and I'm going to look for it.
Not that they were perfect games by any means. Laura Bowen Shelley was an artist at SSI. They do have a different feeling from modern games, less dark and not very grim when they were violent. Less questioning of stereotypes, too. There seemed to be less at stake, and they were less judging and pointing of fingers. As a female, I felt a bit outside of the whole thing and not able to push back much, though I was a lot less in battle than seemed to be the case with some women in gaming right now. No one was making threats when I said I preferred to draw a female authority figure with a strong jaw rather than a sexy pout.
Okay.
I felt like that was... I wanted to share that one.
So, yeah. All the licensing crap to find... You know, the thing is that Good Old Games also sells Master Magic, but no one knows who owns the IP still, which is why we haven't had a Master of Magic Part 2. For whatever reason. So, Paul, opinion?
Licensing, figuring out who owns the rights to different parts of stuff. I mean, this isn't the only IP to run into that problem. But at least they're not remaking it in a horrible, horrible, horrible way. Hashtag Gem the Movie.
Has that even come out yet?
No, it hasn't. It's going to be horrible.
Well, we are getting more Forgotten Realms games. The Beam Dog is doing Baldur's Gate, and I gotta look up the company that's doing Sorcos Legends.
Right, but here's hoping that, you know, they won't suck.
Yeah, I agree.
Dragon Strike, do you remember that? That was actually the action one. That was the one that was basically, what was the name of that game by, the dragon flying game on the Xbox. Oh, damn, I can't believe I forgot the name of it.
It's Soar or Roar?
No.
Your mom's a whore?
Your mom's on the cover of Crack Horror magazine?
What a bore.
What a bore. I mean, we could go all day.
Yeah. No, but, it was the one in which you rode dragons and did stuff like that. So.
Yeah, there's a couple games.
Hey, kids, ride dragons!
There's Draken, Draken, but I think that was...
Oh, that was horrible. For the Super Nintendo?
No, but I'm thinking more of, third-person shooter type of thing.
Hexen.
Hexen was a first-person shooter, not a...
Heretic. Heretic.
Heretic, yeah, there you go.
That was the only first-person shooter that I liked because it was all medieval D&D themed.
Mm-hmm. That was cool.
That's what somebody should do now. That's how they could be interested.
Crimson.
I agree. Let's kickstart it, Paul.
You know, there was one gold box game that I never played. It was one of the latest ones, and that was Spelljammer.
Oh, yeah.
D&D in space.
Yeah. I remember reading that book series. And unfortunately, it never completed. They were supposed to have a sixth book, and they only did five, and then it was just left there in the dust, never to be finished.
So I cannot remember. Hillsfar was a strange beast. The only thing I remember from that game was you had to ride a horse into town, and you had to jump over these little things, you know, these little gates. You had to jump over them, and you had to duck branches. Isn't that entire thing? It was just a really weird game. It was not like anything at all from the. It's not Unlimited Adventures because I had that too. It wasn't as good as an Adventure Construction Set, just in my opinion. You know.
Of course not. What is?
Pinball Construction Set was better than Adventure Construction Set. You know, they really need to make a new version of Pinball Construction Set. That was awesome.
Do they really, though, Jonah?
Yes, they do. Yes, they do.
Really, is this an actual need?
Yes.
In the universe?
Absolutely. It is
You keep using this word need. I don't think it means what you think it means.
I need it like I need an orgasm.
Well, then, yes, in that comparison, then I suppose it is a need because, I mean, Lord knows, with a face like that. Oh, sorry.
So, anyways, we have some listener feedback from the same person. Here's the thing. The listener, his name is Scotty D. Now, I had to ask Scott here, was he writing in? Because was Scott D writing in as Scott D? Apparently not. It's just
is Scott D writing in as Scotty who doesn't know? Let's find out if Scotty knows.
So we have a host named Scott D, and we have a listener writing in named Scott D. So here's the thing: is that the first letter he wrote was for last episode, but he put it in too late, and we'd already recorded, so it was kind of So we'll read that one, and we'll read the one he wrote from last week's episode as well. So. From Scotty D for episode 396. Hi guys, good episode.
Scotty,
I'm sorry.
Doesn't know that Fiona and me do it in my van every Sunday. He does it just in church, but she doesn't go. So she's on her knees and Scotty doesn't know.
Okay.
Oh, Scotty doesn't know.
I'm sorry I haven't posted in a while as I've been busy with my newborn son William. Now wait a minute. Scott? R. Scott, is this you, Scott? I was starting to think maybe Scott Dirk here. That's actually Scott Dirk writing in.
No,
he's actually accusing you of creating your own fan mail.
Actually, it's not fan mail. I don't even know if he compliments Scott in here. Anyways, I like that you now have expanded to include other game types other than video games. To Paul's infamous comment. The story is gameplay's bitch. I hate this. I really only like games that have stories or enable me to make a story. I hate games that are pointless grinding. I need progression, otherwise I can stop paying attention and stop playing. You see, but that's Paul's point, though. See, you're actually proving Paul's point. You don't like games that grind. Yeah. So now the story is being affected by having to grind and grind and grind. There's no story because the gameplay sucks. You know?
Well, I mean, there is no gameplay, and so you're requiring the story to save it. That does support my point, but it's also kind of backwards. If the game mechanics were tight, you wouldn't really care about the story. The story would become an interruption to you having fun with an interactive product.
I think he's saying that he doesn't like games that that don't have stories and just feel like endless grinds.
How do you feel about
that's the problem. But the thing is that the gameplay is endless grinding.
How do you feel about checkers? How do you feel about Tetris? I mean,
the point is that you're saying it's endless grinding. Well, yeah, that's the gameplay, and it sucks.
Yeah, the gameplay's bad.
So there is no story, but there's no gameplay either. So it's a double whammy. Anyways, here's the thing: I stopped playing Dragon Age Inquisition, even though I liked the story. The combat was really bad. The gameplay was bad. Everything about it was bad, and it made me not care about what happened to the end of the game.
Right, because you're not going to – why would you sit there and allow yourself to be penalized with a terrible game experience? You'll just go and do something else.
I will admit
it doesn't matter how good the story is if the gameplay sucks.
Well, there,
I will admit,
I will admit there are some games that, you know, the story pulled me through over some wonky gameplay, but that only means that the gameplay wasn't bad enough that, you know, there's sort of a balance there, you know. If you can tolerate the gameplay so much and the story is giving you pleasure, but the odds are you're not going to play that game again. I can give you an example of that. Batman, all the Batman games except for the first one, I have not played again because...
I mean, if all you wanted was a good story, you'd go watch a movie.
Oh, yeah, my Mad Max Fury Road is coming tomorrow, which I'm
don't really even.
About.
That is the most retarded pile. Excuse me, that is the most redundant pile of crap I've ever seen.
Okay. You're entitled to your opinion, Paul. I still play
which
the
game. Which is always right.
I still play games from the 90s because back then they had good stories. What? Okay. Yeah.
Hey, Secret of Mana was awesome.
I'm just
in
saying.
In many respects.
I think there may be. I think there may be a little bit of a nostalgia filter because I'm telling you, most of the stories back in the 90s, well, here the problem is that there weren't many stories. I mean, unless you're playing adventure games, but then again, then it starts becoming about the gameplay mechanics and more about not the story, but the puzzles. I guess the puzzles count as a gameplay mechanic because if the puzzles don't make sense... You know.
Yes, Jonah. Puzzles are made up of gameplay mechanics.
I enjoyed puzzle games.
Well, I'm talking about logic puzzles, Paul. Not. I don't even know what
you're talking about right now, Jonah. Have you lost the thread of this conversation?
Anyways, as for the Steam Machine's suspend feature, I like the fact they recognize the risk and disable the feature. Nothing would piss me off than suspending a game and expecting to start back up and finding that the session had expired or become corrupt. It would be great.
Oh,
if
that
they...
happened to my sister once.
She became corrupt.
No, in Zelda 2, The Adventures of Link, if you made it all the way, if you spent your three lives making it all the way to the final palace, if you died, instead of starting all the way back at the beginning, you'd die at the final palace because it was impossible to do both, right?
Right.
You were expected to, you know, to logistically reach the end point of the game, you needed at least six lives.
Okay.
So my sister was all excited one day, so she went and she did it and she got all the way to the final palace and she told me to turn it on and go to her save game, and I'm like, why are you so excited? She was so upset. She didn't understand that you only got to keep that as long as you kept the machine on.
Dun, dun, dun. Yikes.
It was one of the last times she played video games, sadly. Because then she went the way of Susan in Narnia.
Aww.
That's...
I know, right? I know, right? It's heartbreaking in the book, and it was heartbreaking to live through.
You know, that's why YouTube was invented, for people to watch endings that they could not reach. Like Psychonauts. I never completed it, but I got to watch the ending on YouTube.
You're not a real gamer, Jonah.
No. I got almost all the way to the end.
For you.
I got almost all the way to the end, and then it just was no. And even I talked to Tim Schafer about it, and he agreed with me. So there.
Just because somebody agreed with you. Tim Schafer's not even here to defend himself.
It's in Twitter, and I never deleted the conversation, so there. Anyways,
You're a pack of lies, Jonah. How do you sleep at night? How do you sleep at night on that pile of lies?
Okay, it would be great if they could fix it, but I don't think that would change my buying decision. As for the Steam Machine, I don't mind the idea if the boxes are cheaper and outperform my gaming PC. If they're cheaper, they're not going to outperform your gaming PC. I'll just say that straight out. Otherwise,
yeah,
they're
not going to outperform a $4,000 rig.
Otherwise, yeah. They don't really make much sense. If I want to play my PC games on my TV, I would connect my PC to my TV. Otherwise,
right.
Keep recording and I'll keep listening. By the way, I was going to make a point and now I forgot it.
Oh my god, you actually had a salient point to make and I missed it?
Aww.
Oh yeah, the point I was going to make was that it's better not to have a feature than have a crappy feature and have to defend it. You know, so, don't, you know, it's like people will complain if you give them something for free, because you're giving it for free, and they feel they have the right to complain. If you don't give it to them, they can't complain about what they're not getting. You know, it's basically do a half-assed feature if just don't have the feature.
Yeah, a game is only late until it comes out; it'll be bad forever.
Well, we're talking about a console here, but same philosophy. You know. Anyways,
yeah, I mean, a piece of hardware is only late until it comes out.
Yeah,
that's
Paul,
true.
Paul, take the next Scotty D.
Okay. Scotty D for episode 397. Dickless Nintendo.
No.
Oh, I
think you did that on purpose, Paul.
Oh,
that was not you misreading it. That was you actually wanting to say that.
No. That was not a Freudian slip. I swear I'm dyslexic.
No, you just wanted to say it.
No, at Diskless Nintendo, I think it might be a great idea. If they moved to memory cards, they can reduce the system profile while increasing the performance and capacity. Larger cards give access to larger games. I also think it makes sense to expand their digital library to support all the older slash legacy games and have them accessible in the console, especially if they enable you to access the digital version if you have a physical copy.
That'll never happen because Nintendo wants you to buy the same game over and over and over and over again as you go.
Well, yeah, but that's not just Nintendo, dude. That's everybody.
Well, not in Microsoft.
Who makes a product. It's a consumerist society. Don't get me started.
Well, Microsoft's not doing it with their backwards compatibility right now.
The more times I can get you to buy the one thing that I made, the happier I am because I don't have to keep making stuff for you to buy.
Again, Microsoft's flying in the face of that. With the service they're doing with the backwards compatible. You own the game, pop it in the disc, you download the full version of it.
Lies. All
same
lies.
With Steam, really. You buy the game once.
All lies. I did it with Mass Effect. Anyways, moving on.
As for video game movies, I do not think I have enjoyed any movies that have been based on a video game. I will go you one better. I haven't enjoyed any video games based on movies either. Lastly, that being said, I have enjoyed some of the anime shows slash movies which have turned into games. Oh, I'm sorry. Or were released after the games. Lastly, I thought I would share that I also bought the Heroes Humble Bundle. Nice! But haven't had a chance to play any of them yet. Oh, you're going right to hell. I'm telling you, number two is impossibly hard. And it's going to eat up like 4 months of your life. I'm just going to share that right now. I am going to install them on my Surface tablet. Ooh! And see if I can get them working with touch. Wish me luck. Oh God. Let me know if you can get that to work on an iPad.
Paul, you didn't enjoy Ants Extreme Racing?
I'm sorry. Left field. What?
Well, you said there weren't any there weren't any games based on movies that you liked. I mean, so
Jonah, do you realize what you're talking about right now?
Yes.
Because I don't, and I figured at least one of us should.
Yes, but we're just going to move on because we're going to look for our show notes at GamingPodcast.net. Along with the industry news and our gaming history articles, we enjoy your feedback, so leave us comments at our blog at GamingPodcast.net. Also, hit us up at Facebook.com/GamingPodcast or forums at GamingPodcast.net/forum or send your comments to fans@GamingPodcast.net. You can subscribe to us on iTunes, leave some iTunes comments. I am at Jonah Falcon. Paul is at Stager Monkey, and Scott Dirk is at Alpha Shard.
I really got to get a new Twitter handle. What's it going to be?
What do you want
to
be? Oh,
wait, what's the question of the week? We don't have a question of the week
because I couldn't think of one.
What's your favorite Paul moment in the gearing up to the Paul Says Farewell episode?
Okay.
That works.
That'll work.
What is your favorite or one of my many shticks over the last 4 years?
I think people remember your quotes more.
I am quite quotable.
Yes.
We'll start with Dickless Nintendo and work our way backwards.
It's a me, Dickless Mario.
Hey, that's crossing a line.
Well, at least I didn't say. Hey.
mine was actually based on a medical condition where I can't see letters. Now you're just making fun of Mario. I'm not standing for that.
Well, no, I'm not going to do it.
I will end you, Falcon. That was a fantastic program.
Yes, but he did say, I'm not going to say it because you're going to get pissy at me. But, here, you know, let's see. Paul has said...
To a 7-year-old, that was hysterical.
Paul has quoted Pee-wee's Big Adventure quite a bit because he's been ready at first call.
Oh, yeah. Well, no, I mean, that becomes my... I've taken that tagline as my own now.
You already mentioned one of your quotes about... Actually, you mentioned two of your quotes. First, you went into... you know, story is gameplay is bitch, and then you went into a good, a bad game is bad forever. You know, those two things.
That's true.
And then he hasn't said it yet, but I'm pretty sure he'll say it soon, and that is, you have no soul.
You have no soul. I have no idea how you got this broken.
And the other thing is that that's why you're a bad person.
That's why you're a bad person, Jonah.
what else?
It's true. God damn it. Like every time I open my mouth, a t-shirt falls out. Oh, that's
Paul is the Ghostbusters of video game podcasts.
Every single line is quotable.
Oh yeah. Buy bonds. What? It's good advice.
Ooh, it is good advice. I'm telling you that there's only one time that municipal bonds have ever not been a good investment. And I'm sorry, I can't predict every situation, but to the people living in New York in Detroit who bought municipal bonds, I'm sorry for you. Who could have seen that coming?
The lesser used these days, I can't even.
I can't. I got nothing. That's another one.
I got nothing.
What is a rant about parents need to be personal?
Oh yeah, yeah. We're not raising your fucking children. Yes. Yeah,
I blame the parents.
Yeah. It's your job to raise your own fucking children.
It's your job to raise your own goddamn children. I didn't have them. It's not my job.
Yeah. So
God, I'm gonna miss me.
Well, that's not to say, you know, for those who are wondering, I'm just going to, what's it called? If Paul wants to pop in, you know, he just says, text, hey, you know what? I have nothing better to do. I already washed my hair. I already cooked my clothes.
This is not a parting on bad terms. I just need to kind of step away and allow some change to come into the show and into my life for other reasons.
So when Paul feels like it, you'll grace our podcast.
I'm going to be VGRT Barbara Walters. When there's a topic I feel like joining in on and I have something to say, I'll come back and it'll be even more memorable and more magical for it. And then I'll make you all cry. Me, I'm going to be Barbara Walters.
Do you remember when she interviewed the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles?
I do.
And it malfunctioned and they were only supposed to have, you know, gentle rivulets, but it malfunctioned and it just became splattering tears all over the place, and the actors had to improvise and make believe that they were going into hysterics.
Wait, is that what happened?
Yeah, that's what happened.
Didn't even understand that that's what was happening. I was like five.
I'm just saying,
they were really upset.
Yeah, they were supposed to just have, because, you know, Barbara Walters, they have this single tier, you know, it's very...
Right, okay, so anyone who doesn't know Barbara Walters, she's retired now. She's known for being a television interviewer who always asks, like, the really hard personal questions, and that will end up making her interview subjects cry. And so apparently that's what they were spoofing on the Ninja Turtles, and...
There was a technical error, and they just blew. They just started bawling there because the water was coming out too fast, and it was gushing out, and they had to change. It was just only supposed to be a subtle single tear sort of thing.
Oh God!
I wonder if I have to check
YouTube now.
Yeah, Barbara Walters interviews, and I think the question was, do you remember your parents or something like that?
Oh, it's always some kind of ridiculously hard question. Like, so I understand you have been sexually assaulted.
But here's the thing: is that actually that is a harsh question to ask the turtles if they knew who their parents were.
Like, that's what I mean. It's always like some ridiculously like inappropriate, I don't want to talk about it question that she asks, and yet people let her get away with it. And some people even agreed to be interviewed by her so that she can make them cry.
So they can...
On film.
Yeah.
Proving they have a soul, unlike Jonah Falcon. Paul, bringing it back to the show.
Anyways, we will see you next week for number 399.
No, we won't. I'm going to be camping.
Oh, that's right. You know what? Maybe I'll air that unused episode that I talked about, 391.
And I'll just there you go. See?
Where Paul is talking about My Little Pony. And he's, I'm asking him, I'm giving him each My Little Pony, like Fluttershy, and he's giving his opinions of them.
That's a good show.
Yeah. Anyways,
I'm sleepy.
Okay, so we will possibly see you next week or in 2 weeks.
Bye, Bonds. Oh, wait, we didn't say goodbye yet, did we?
Yeah, Scott's petting the dog.
No. Wait, is that what the kids are calling it these days?
Scott?
Happy gaming, everyone.
Aw, happy gaming. I like that one. I do.
Thank you.
Farewell.
And that was... Paul did not ask... you already mentioned the bonds, though, so I guess it was
I said it earlier. Yeah. I did. I went on a mini rant on it. It felt redundant.
Is that a broken record?
Yeah. It felt redundant.
Fair redundant. So, Paul, I'm sure you have to collapse now.
Probably.
Okay. So.
Well, no, I mean, I've got to go kick some hero's ass.
Yeah. You know, I'm toying with the idea of us just skipping next week and just doing.
Yeah, I mean, I haven't even started packing yet.
Yeah, I need a week off from this.
See, it's not just me.
Well, keep in mind, I'm the one who has to edit, record.
Oh my god! I mean, that alone has got me sticking on this podcast like for so many years. You have no idea, because it's like I don't really feel like doing it, and it's like, but really, what am I doing? I'm sitting around talking for an hour. Jonah's the one that does all the research and editing and.
Well, like I said, I may just rerun the old episode so that
I say you do that.
Yeah. Okay. So, anyways, I will. This is still recording. We will